When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this very special UK Film Review filmmaker interview. I am joined by the rather lovely Riyad Al-Samari. Riyad, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Whereabouts are you in the world right now?
So right now I'm in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, which is my hometown where I grew up.
Oh, fantastic. So I've obviously looked into your films and your filmmaking. Originally, it mentioned New York. Was that where you sort of learned a lot about filmmaking?
Yes, actually, I went to grad school at NYU, and I got my MFA there in 2020. And it's actually, that's where I made Denier's Day.
Very nicely you brought us on to the film that we're here to talk about. So your short film, Denier's Day, I've seen it, thought it was absolutely great, really enjoyed it. For those who don't know about the film, how would you describe the story and how did the story kind of originate?
Sure. So for anyone that doesn't know, Denier's Day follows a young woman from, let's say, Riyadh High Society, who on the day of her big graduation soiree is abandoned by all her domestic help and is left with her two best friends to fend for herself and save her party. And where it came from really is, like I said, while I was studying at NYU, I had the chance to make a short back home in Riyadh. And I followed the advice. One of my teachers said something that really struck with me, and has stayed with me. It's, he said, make a film only you can make, but hopefully not only you can watch. So the goal was to make something, it really started with the character. I was fascinated and drawn to the idea of making a film about somebody chasing status. And also in looking at a lot of the films from the region, I had seen a lot of brilliant and really important work, but there generally seems to be a tendency to see women from our part of the world, from the Arab world and Muslim world to a degree, as saints, as really noble characters, or as victims of their circumstances. And it was really important to me to write a character who is neither, who's deeply flawed and irreverent, but still very much in a position of privilege and in a position of power in the story. And that's where it came from, really. Yeah.
Yeah, I that's really interesting that you mentioned that, because yeah, the depiction of characters, female characters from that part of the world, has often been pigeonholed. And Dunya is an interesting character because she is quite unlikable, to be honest, for the first half. And you get that from the sense that, you know, straight away you see the help sort of, you know, they don't want to come, and they don't come to her cause for you know, for them to just come and do what she needs them to do for her party. But there is a, I don't want to spoil the ending for anyone, but there is a transition. There's more to it. It's not just some fickle character that no one's going to like. There is more there. So obviously, her being the titular character, so important. How was the casting for these characters?
Of course, I'm glad you asked that question. Casting this film, we knew from the start, was going to be a challenge, specifically casting Dunya. It was really important to me that the actor playing her came at it with empathy and an understanding of this character, which, you know, like you said, the character, there's a lot about her that isn't redeemable, that isn't necessarily likable. I still find there's a lot that is, but it was important to me that the actor playing her didn't, that it didn't feel like the film was punching down at the character, or playing it with any judgment. And we had a really excellent casting director named Sara Belghnaim, who signed on to help us cast all the roles in the film. But after months working with her, it was still very challenging to cast Dunya. And it was then that my producer and I had this aha moment, and realized our Dunya had been in the room all along. And we cast our casting director in the end, Sara. And I'm so glad and grateful she agreed to do the film, because as I'm sure you can see, the performance is integral to the film and she's absolutely incredible in it.
Yeah, agreed. It's such a strong performance because so much of it is unsaid. It's in the mannerisms, it's the physical embodiment of her struggle or her, you know, dilemma. And we see her, there's a lot of range there, because, you know, from being kind of bratty to being quite strong and formidable, to being kind of humbled, there's a lot of things going on there. A particular scene with an animal, I'm not, again, trying not to go into any spoilers, but with an animal, was that a particularly hard scene to shoot, by the way? And again, probably listeners are probably thinking, oh, we want to know, but yeah, how was that scene to film?
So without any spoilers, that scene was like so much fun to film, but it also took the longest amount of time.
Imagine, yeah.
Because it was integral to get the performances right, and I was lucky enough to have a cast that were willing to kind of play with guided improv, and really examine, like, it was really important to also like play the moments before and after that scene, especially before, so it doesn't feel like they're launching into it out of nowhere. So there was a lot of time allotted to that scene, and I'm glad you bring it up, because the really in writing that scene, the question was, how far will Dunya go? A lot of the films I admire that focus on characters chasing clout or status, there's always that question of how far are they going to go? So I think I knew from the get-go that that scene was probably the most important scene in the film. And without spoiling the scene, the moment her friend refuses a request Dunya's making, I knew that moment between the lines even is the moment the film completely hinges on. It was also the most fun scene to shoot because I was blessed to work with actors who were really bringing it in every take and making it feel different every single time.
I always think with films that often you'll remember how a film made you feel. That is kind of built into a film. Like you can remember a film from 20 years ago, you know whether or not you liked it or not. But you'll also probably have like one or two really strong visuals that you can bring back. And for me, obviously the animals one, and also the steps where you did the cutscene of her calling out from different parts of being on the steps. Those were the sort of visuals for me that I felt that if I need to remember the film, I instantly remember that and go, yep, now I remember the film. Like, and I think that's remarkable because this is your debut, is that right? Is it your debut film?
Yes, it is, yeah.
I think you've done some, obviously, other work on films, but it's your first directorial. And it's done incredibly well, I think. It's won an award at 2019 Sundance for Jury Award, International Fiction. Is that right?
Yes, in 2019. And our world premiere actually was at Sundance, which was incredible. Because like I said, when we made this film, a lot of us, it was really a chance to do homework with a lot of friends and family and collaborators that I love. So to have it premiere at Sundance and then be recognized like that was incredible.
I mean, it's remarkable and yeah, well-deserved. It's a fantastic film. I mean, I loved it, but what's the kind of audience reaction been like? What have people said like to you and or maybe you overheard?
It's been largely phenomenal and like beyond any of our expectations. And I think the great thing about making genre films or about making comedy, it is kind of a dark comedy, is that you can hear the reaction in the room immediately. It's easy to tell if an audience connects with your film or not. So to be in a room with a bunch of people laughing out loud, be it in Salt Lake City or Paris or Cairo, was incredibly rewarding. And I guess on top of that, the reception, I guess it was also rewarding and validating. As you can see, Dunya's Day is about a very specific subset of Riyadh society, where graduation parties are akin to the Met Gala, veganism is trending. And it was really validating that I could just dive into that world without explaining it. And then have audience members, particularly women from different cultural backgrounds, come up to me and say they relate to Dunya or they know a Dunya in their lives has been incredibly rewarding. And I mean, words can't do it justice, how I feel.
Absolutely spot on about when it comes to comedy. I'll be honest, I'm a comedy snob. Very rarely do films make me laugh out loud, and yours definitely did. And I think it was because of that, because of the world that I was glimpsing. It's not a world I'm familiar with. When I watch, say, an American comedy or something, like, I think I know where it's going. Like, I know like they're hitting certain beats and they're doing certain things. Like, okay, yeah, now is where they're going to land the punchline. But I think with this, it was such an interesting, fascinating world, and the lead performance does so well to garner that that reaction. I think it's really impressive to see a filmmaker on their first film get that much right. You're doing so much right along the way. Obviously, I'm sure there were hurdles along the way. I mean, what were the obstacles to getting this film made? What did you have to kind of overcome?
Sure. I mean, I was very lucky to have like the best producer, a friend of mine who really connected with the story, and the best team, classmates from NYU and friends and family back home, like I said, were very, very supportive. The biggest challenge, I think, or one of the biggest challenges making this film was going into it, we knew the design elements, the costume design and the production design were integral to the story and had to be elaborate and very detailed. And given this was a student film with limited resources and time, it was very challenging. It was almost impossible for us to work with anyone who had done a film before. So we ended up taking a leap of faith on our production designer, Tamara Kahlo, and our costume designer, Lemi Al-Hazzani. Both of them, this was their first film. And it I'm going to brag a little bit on their behalf. It really doesn't show. So I guess the biggest takeaway for me was that sometimes more than a resume, it's important to find people who connect deeply with the story and the character and her world, as Tamara and Lemia did, and who are willing to go all the way and bat for it. Because their work really brought so much to this film.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, yeah, it's a student film, because it doesn't look like a student film. I watch hundreds of indie films every year, and you kind of get the vibe straight away of like, okay, yeah. But with this, it had a caliber about it that just didn't feel that way. And I think the quality is in the passion. I think it's the telling this story. It's done. It's a real achievement. Really great short film. I mean, is there any plans for something bigger? Like, yeah, you know, I know I ask this a lot when short filmmakers come along, but is there ever an idea in your head to say, look, you know, we want more of them? Yeah, we want either another short or a feature of what we're seeing.
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked that. I'm in development and have been for a couple of years now on a feature with the same character, a Dinia's Day feature.
There we go. Is that what a scoop? What a scoop.
It's too soon to share very much about the story, but I'm really excited to to share soon, hopefully.
Fantastic. No, sounds great. I mean, one of my questions is going to be what's next for you, but aside for that, is there anything else you've got coming up filmmaking wise?
Like I said, I'm very much focused right now on development. I've been blessed to be teaching screenwriting in Saudi Arabia, and I want to help a few filmmakers get their shorts off the ground. And I've been developing a couple features and a TV project as well, but unfortunately nothing I can talk about safely yet.
No worries. We won't prompt you too much, no worries. Well, Ryan, it's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you about your film. Thank you for getting in touch as well. It's often such an honor to be able to watch people's shorts, but also to be able to then find out more about the story behind them. It just means so much more when we know about the film and, you know, about the filmmaker and about the process that you've gone through. Again, I'll say massive congratulations, because it's a really, really impressive film. I think you've done brilliant. This has been the UK Film Review interview with Riyad Al-Samari. His film, Dinia's Day, look it up. And yeah, we'll see you again soon. Take care.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. The film was really personal and fun to make, and I'm so glad to hear it resonated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.